Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This just in from Woj, some breaking news. Boston Celtics center Robert Williams will test his left knee in warmups, but there's optimism he'll be available for Game 5 versus Miami tonight, sources tell ESPN. Well, let's turn to our own insider. Joining the show is Odyssey NBA insider Ryan McDonough. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sportsbooks don't want you to see. Be smarter, bet better. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Thank you for joining us, Ryan. My first question, can you give us any insight into why the Heat maybe skipped their shoot-around ahead of Game 5 today on game day?
Yeah, good question, Megan. It's always great to be on with you guys. I think it's probably due to the wear and tear on the Miami roster. If you look up and down the roster, especially in the backcourt, Kyle Lowry has been banged up. He obviously missed games earlier in this series and in the playoffs. Tyler Herro was out the other night. And then they have a number of players listed as questionable in addition to those two, Max Strus, P.J. Tucker, and Gabe Vincent. So I think this is a tired team. They're a beat-up team. They are playing a stronger, more physical opponent, in my opinion, in Boston. So I think they just felt like at this point, after four games, they know everything Boston's going to do. There aren't many adjustments they can make. I think Eric Spoelstra's thought process was to try to get the team fully healthy and rested for tonight's pivotal Game 5.
So, Ryan, you don't think that there's anything to maybe trying to push off any kind of release of an injury report from the Miami camp?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know, you know, what the benefit would be at this point. I mean, the Celtics have seen the Heat with and without Kyle Lowry and Tyler Herro and other guys in and out of the lineup. So I think it's more just that. It's more just rest. Keep in mind that earlier in the playoffs, sometimes there are often two-day gaps or even three-day gaps occasionally between playoff games. This round, now in the conference finals, it's every other day, and now that we're into the latter part of the series, it's going to be back and forth between cities for the duration. So I think that was part of Spoelstra's thought process as well. It was just try to maximize rest time, and then he feels like if he sacrifices a little bit strategically or in terms of repetition, he gains that if he has a fully rested and healthy roster.
All right, Ryan, we spent so much time looking at the Celtics and who needs to step up for them other than Jason Tatum. So with Miami, other than Jimmy Butler, who is the most important person on that roster in this game tonight?
Great question. I think if he plays, it has to be Tyler Herro. And that's why I lean toward the Celtics, not just because I'm a Bostonian and on the air with you guys. I think they have more talent. I think they have more depth and they have more shot creation. And I bring that up because Miami, if they're limited in those areas, especially with Kyle Lowry, who was just 1-for-6 the other night in Game 6, in Game 4, Miami really struggled to score, they need more shot creators. And without Herro, I think their inability to generate offense, especially early in the game, I thought Al Horford and Robert Williams did a terrific job protecting the basket. And we saw that game was essentially over before it started with the Celtics 18-1 run out of the gate. So if Lowry is limited, Herro needs to play and play well. But again, I'm leaning toward Boston. I think they have the better team. I think they have the healthier team. And with this recent news about Robert Williams, I think that was their one potential Achilles heel, was Bam Adebayo going nuts against the Celtics if Williams were out. So I think what Ime Udoka is going to do tonight is try to line up Robert Williams and have him on the floor as much as possible when Bam Adebayo is in Miami's lineup.
Ryan, I've heard you on this station, on BetQL. You've been touting the Celtics literally for months. You were on Celtics and Suns as an NBA Finals pick, I think, going back to the beginning of the year. I thought the series would be more competitive, the games would be more competitive. From your perspective, why have we had like literally like almost three out of the four games be complete blowouts. Is there something in the matchup that is leading to these games being in the fourth quarter, a couple of benches battling against each other for Spoelstra and Ime Udoka?
I'm going to zoom out a little bit and take a bigger picture of you guys, because you're seeing this around the league. You've seen it throughout the playoffs. You're seeing it right now in the Western Conference Final between Dallas and Golden State. The games aren't particularly competitive. I think what's going on is the cumulative effect of playing now a third season in a row on a compressed schedule. Keep in mind, these two teams played in the conference finals only about a year and a half ago, but it was two seasons ago in the Orlando bubble in 2020. So now I just think the wear and tear is impacting gameplay. It's impacting shooting night to night. But more than anything, it's impacting health and durability around the league. We're seeing that not only with Miami and Boston having key players in and out of the lineup, but it seems like the healthiest teams are the ones that continue to advance, or the teams that overcome injuries the best have the best chance to advance. So I think this year, more than ever, it puts your depth in focus, and I think the Celtics have better depth than Miami. In fact, I think Boston and Golden State are the two deepest teams, and that's why you're right. I did pick Celtics Suns before the playoffs. Obviously, Phoenix got upset, but I think the Celtics win the Eastern Conference and end up getting matched up with Golden State in the NBA Finals.
Some big news today in our neck of the woods with Tatum making the All-NBA first team for the first time in his career. Was that a surprise to you? Do you have him right now, I guess, in that tier for yourself, that top five over this season and maybe in the league at large right now in terms of talent?
I've seen rapid development this year, Megan. I mean, really throughout his career, he's developed individually. But I thought the biggest change in Jason Tatum's game this year and in the team performance, especially offensively, was when Tatum and others, but led by Jason, the guy started distributing the ball more. And I thought at times in years past, even early in this season, back in 2021, when the team started out slow at 16 and 19, I thought it was too isolation-heavy, take-turns basketball. Guys would usually look to pass only when they've exhausted their ability to score, and then once they realized they couldn't score, they'd kind of throw it to the next guy, and he would try to do the same thing. So now with Tatum, his ability to score efficiently, but also to create shots for others, to get multiple defenders on the ball, I do think he's worthy of first-team NBA. It's great to see the guys make it for the first time. We drafted Devin Booker in Phoenix. He was on it as well. So it's really exciting for me to see the next generation of young players in the league. I think most, if not all, the guys on the roster were like 27 and under. So it's exciting for the Celtics. I do think he's deserving. He's developed defensively. He's developed as a playmaker. And he is the best player on the team that, again, I think will win the Eastern Conference and play for an NBA championship.
All right, so we're talking to Ryan McDonough, NBA Audio Odyssey Insider. So, you know what? I saw Spoelstra after game four, and it was just paraphrasing his quote, Ryan. It said, you know, whatever they can do, we can do. And that's what it's been pretty much for, you know, the first four games. I feel like it's just based on everything that you're saying, it's just real wishful thinking on their part. It has a tinge of a delusion to it based on, you know, the depth of the Celtics, the health of the Celtics, and everything else. Do you think Miami has the ability, based on everything that we've seen, to kind of draw one more win at home tonight?
I think it would have to take a monster performance from one of Jimmy Butler and or Bam Adebayo. One of those two guys needs to have a monster game just because of the backcourt limitations. I mean, Kyle Lowry in his mid-30s with the injuries is not the same player today as he has been in the past. P.J. Tucker is a tough guy. We had P.J. when I was GM of the Suns. He's a tough guy. He played his role extremely well for Milwaukee a year ago when they won the championship, but he is limited offensively. Max Strus, a catch-and-shoot specialist, as is Duncan Robinson. So really, you know, I think one of the stars, probably multiple stars from Miami, need to play well. They need to be healthy, obviously, with Harrell, and then maybe they get a breakout game from Victor Oladipo, who's been arguably their best guard in the series. But I just think Boston has more talent. That's the way I look at it, guys, from a former executive standpoint. Boston has more talent. They have better depth. They have more shot creation, which gives you a greater margin of error. And so I think all signs point toward the Celtics. Now, it's not going to be easy winning a Game 5 in the conference final in a 2-2 series on the road. I think the team that wins this game historically wins the series about 80% of the time. Yep. So it's a huge game, but I think everything is trending in the Celtics' direction.
He was seen as a salary dump Kemba Walker acquisition. Ryan was Al Horford. He has been awesome in these playoffs. Did you expect this sort of resurgence from the 35-year-old playing so well, not only against the Nets and Bucks, but now a really important part of this Heat series?
No, I didn't. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure Brad Stevens, Ime Udoka, Wick Rausbeck, Steve Pagliuca, those guys expected it either. I mean, he's been phenomenal. I think that's why so much of the league guys in the NBA is about the fit and the opportunity that you're given and the situation you're in. And Horford played very well in Boston. Obviously, the fit in Philadelphia alongside Joel Embiid was a disaster. I think both of those guys are strictly centers at this point in their career. And then he was exiled to OKC, and people around the league wondered if he'd get bought out or waived by the Thunder. And kudos to Brad Stevens and his staff. They were opportunistic. They saw the injuries to Kemba Walker and Kemba's play decline, and I know it was a controversial deal, especially throwing a first-round pick into it, but it's worked out brilliantly for Boston. I mean, to me, that was the difference the other night. Yes, Tatum was great individually. He scored 31 points in a game in which points were hard to come by, but the defensive ability, especially the pairing of Boston's two big men, Al Horford and Robert Williams III, Miami just couldn't score, guys. That's what stood out to me watching the game. It wasn't like the Heat was getting good shots and they were missing those shots. They just weren't getting clean looks at the basket. So if Boston can in any way replicate that tonight, they should be in great shape. And Al Horford at 35, I mean, we see him having tip dunks. We see him making threes, protecting the rim. It looks like he's found the fountain of youth, and certainly he's been crucial to the Celtics. I think the best indicator of that, guys, look at their record. When he's in the lineup, it's excellent. When he's out of the lineup, it's well below 500. I think that shows you everything you need to know about Al Horford and his importance to this team.
Along those lines of fit and opportunity that you mentioned, as a former exec, I'm wondering, how much did you know about Ime Udoka before the Celtics hired him as a head coach? And how impressive do you find his, I guess, rookie year as a head coach here, turning that team around halfway through the season and getting them to the Eastern Conference Finals in this position?
Ime's done a terrific job. I can't remember many, if any, situations where in season there was such a significant turnaround without a real catalyst. And what I mean by that is teams, turn their season sometimes, but often it takes a trade or a player coming back from a major injury and then it flips. Boston, they did acquire Derek White at the deadline, but really it started well before that, and White added to what they had already started doing. So Ime Udoka was a guy who was on a lot of teams' shortlists for a long time, well-respected assistant. Obviously, you guys know the history between San Antonio, Philadelphia, and Brooklyn. So he was seen as a coach in waiting for the last 5 to 10 years. And, he's really taken advantage of the opportunity. But I give him a ton of credit because if you guys go back and listen to, what we were saying and what was we saw in December in particular, did not look very good. He and the rest of the group did an excellent job really swinging this, with the addition of Derek White that helped. But this started well before that. And I think Ime Udoka deserves a majority of the credit for that.
Ryan, you were saying those things. We were probably saying a lot of the same things over here. So all of us were wrong about this, but this is where we are now. Thank you so much for joining us. That was Odyssey NBA Insider Ryan McDonough. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help us all make better bets through real, proven analytics. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Again, if you had missed it, there was a Woj bomb just about 15 minutes ago. We hear that there is optimism that Rob Williams will be available to play tonight. He's gonna test his knee, so we'll see. But regardless, this is a pivotal game, as you heard in that interview with Ryan McDonough. The team that wins game five has an 80% chance of winning the series historically. So is that enough to make it a must win? We'll get to that right after trending.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Pivotal game five tonight between the Celtics and Miami Heat, tied up at 2-2, and As Odyssey NBA insider Ryan McDonough just said in a great interview with us, the stat is that the team that wins game five goes on to win the series 80% of the time. 80% of the time, they win every time.
Must win. What?
Must win. Must win. We're back to the must win.
So it's a must win game. Nah, he just told you it was.
Weren't they in the same situation?
Yes, they were in the last series, and they lost.
They lost game five. And then they won the series.
What did they have last series they don't have now, dummy?
Giannis on the other side.
Wait a second. What's up with you today?
Why'd you come back from the break in such a mood? What's wrong with you?
You sitting there, you and Baird over there, discussing how you're going to kind of screw me a little
high
bit?
Level. He's not thrilled with you. Here are those comments.
I heard him just walk by.
He's got a rebuttal for you.
You came in great. You called me a dummy.
But what's different about the series, Christian? They have home court. Game 70 back in Miami.
I think it's different.
This is a good team on the road, though. The Celtics are a good team on the road.
So 80% doesn't matter. Home court doesn't matter. You literally just say no matter what, not a must win.
No. Listen, okay. Nothing I don't want to get into the weeds. As far as this game goes, every person we've talked to in the last 2 days has talked about depth issues, injury issues, all the advantages that the Celtics have over the Heat.
So why have they had either one really bad game and then one epically bad quarter? All these things are true. It's tied 2-2.
Two bad quarters, Mom.
Do you think?
I don't hear this thing. They've only lost two quarters.
Two bad quarters.
Okay, listen. Do you think that this back and forth mentality of like I'm going to pay you back, like I was embarrassed? Do you think that mentality exists in this game, or do you think the Celtics are done with it?
Like
I know that the Heat.
I want to find out tonight.
How about this? Are they mature enough to turn the page? So we asked Ryan McDonough what he makes of the Heat skipping shoot around, and I was thinking that maybe that this is them trying to push off releasing the injury report until as close to the game as possible, not having it to release it at 11 a.m. this morning. And he said, like, these guys need a rest because their whole starting lineup, plus Tyler Hero, for the most part, is completely banged up, if not outright injured. And that makes me feel like, is that a little, like, white flag waving of, like, we can't even get out there and do shoot around? We just got to rest, guys.
That's the first time that I really thought, Christian, like, they're that banged up that they can't get out there. It's not full practice.
It's a shoot around.
It's getting shots up. It's getting a little sweat
And also,
going.
Do you want to see, if especially if guys have stuff like a hamstring injury or something, do you want to see them get a little loose so you're not sitting around on that injury all day, tightening up?
Plus, if they didn't go to practice, gave Kyle Lowry more chance to just eat the entire time.
That is so rude.
Just sit around and
hit the buffet. That is so rude.
It's like that Fat Bastard, sick. Too. It's like this guy, he is so... people say, oh, no, he's not fat. He's just thick. No, he's fat.
He's big.
He's fat and thick.
I like him. He's tough.
I adore Kyle Lowry.
But he's big. He's slow now, too.
He's 36 years old, and he just... No, hamstring. That's just... And his shorts are way too long.
Oh, is this where we're going? Are we doing uniform talk?
He's thicker in the butt.
It makes him look short and fat, does it not?
I thought he was doing that to make himself look skinnier.
Really? No, Mego told us the rule to making yourself look skinny.
Yeah, get to the inside of the picture.
You got to be in the middle of the picture because of the lens.
How do you do that if you're Kyle Lowry on the court, though?
I don't know.
He stays in the center.
He stays in the center.
Guys, I'll take the opening jump.
The old John Stockton shorts probably make his legs look thicker.
Can you imagine if he was sporting those? Did you see that picture of Gresh the other day?
I did.
The whole thing that was going on in the middle of those shorts right there,
you can say what it is, can't you?
Camel toe?
Tyler?
Ryan? Tyler is not HR. Like, Ryan is more
Ryan?
HR.
HR Ryan?
Ryan is the filter.
A little hammer look.
I think you already said it.
I think it's a yes.
So you guys would say not a must win tonight.
Okay, I appreciate your mentality with the 20,000, 30,000 foot view of this and how it affects them. But technically, it isn't. I would say they can literally lay an egg again, which is more like what they would do based on their history. They lay eggs. They admitted it. They have to feel threatened. They have to play desperation basketball. Like, that is what they do. So suddenly they're going to realize that, hey, we can actually do ourselves a favor and show up for the first three quarters, at least cut it out all together and put ourselves in an unbelievable position to win game six at home and be done.
Keep our guys rested, get refocused.
What leads you to believe that all of a sudden they're going to wake up and go like, okay, now let's all imagine and make believe it's a must win when it isn't?
I'm because I want to see it. because you made a great point yesterday about wanting to see a new layer of maturity for this team and being able to not be forced into a corner and then fight back. So I admit I'm sort of projecting it, but I also think bigger picture, like you said, if they want to win, we think Robert Williams is going to play. We have no updates whatsoever on Marcus Smart. Those guys need rest. So apparently I'm the idiot on the show. The audience agrees with the moron. Question at MFM on WEEI. Very easy Twitter account to remember.
It took you 3 days to say it.
MFM on WEEI. Is tonight a must-win for the Celtics in Game 5 against Miami? Over 300 votes. 75% yes, 25% no. That is a blowout. So the fans agree with me. So you guys should be defending yourselves as to why it's not.
Hold on. Wait, I thought the way you framed that, I thought that was going in our favor. Yeah, 75% say it's a must win.
Yeah.
75% are wrong. Just because you have the majority behind you doesn't make you right, Mark.
Majority wins in this country.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's look at some of the comments, okay? It's a can't lose. I don't think you can grasp the concept of a must win.
It's a can't lose. I like that better, actually. I like that better. Here's the thing, though.
This is such a stupid question. How about that?
Sure. So I'm sure they still vote. As long as you vote, I don't care what you call it.
Jason Tatum.
Go vote right now.
Said post-game, Game 4. Human nature plays a role in this. Hey, you think that you can kind of kick back and relax because, all right, you're not in this desperate situation. So, I just don't think they can just flip the switch and be like, all right, now I'm gonna force myself to believe that this is a must win.
It is a must win game, you know, because tonight was essentially something like that.
So that is his mentality. So I don't think they changed their mentality, which makes me nervous. So I feel better about it knowing that the Heat are under duress.
This comes down to Ime to me. This is, if they lose this game, that is on Ime Udoka, because this team has lacked urgency unless their backs are up against the wall. That's what we're dancing around right now. And we held Jason Tatum's feet to the fire all through the last series about being inconsistent, and we continue to. But if the team doesn't show up mentally and doesn't stick to the game plan that you laid out to them, or you don't give them the game plan to dominate the Heat, then that's on Ime Udoka.
So it's funny because there's so many games in the NBA, just like in baseball. So pregame pep talks, they all sound the same, and there's really no energy to them. It's like, hey guys, we got to do this, we got to do that. I don't feel like
maybe from Bill.
No. Bill doesn't do anything either.
What about that parade route he gave you?
Did you hear his voice? How monotone he was.
Yeah. He's never fired up.
I was sleeping. Okay, you saw you admit I was not paying attention.
Going to go from Broad Street up to Washington Avenue, past City Hall, then down to Benjamin Franklin Parkway, and we'll end up at the Art Museum.
I do think he needs something like that, because you have to trick him.
They Doc need Rivers to think, putting the you know, $100 bill.
Great,
in the
great
ceiling.
Thing to do, and just I feel like they need to somehow trick the players into believing that there's only 6 games, not 7. Like something. Do whatever you need to
what
do.
If you, what if
to
he
convince
says
them.
Something like, guys, if we don't get this in 6, if we don't win tonight and then win the 6th and wrap it up, Rob and Smart are not going to be available in the finals. Like, you guys are putting way too much wear and tear on them.
But you're Coach, have to play like I just heard that Woj said he's that. Available.
I wouldn't mind if he said that. Well, he says he's available. He was also available for Game 7 against the Bucks.
I'm going to hide your
play.
Toys from you.
Yeah, no TV for a whole week.
Rob Williams for a week.
You got so excited about the whole availability word. Availability doesn't mean he's going to play.
At least he's going to test it, though, Christian. We were talking about how in a bunch of games he's missed this playoff run. He hasn't even tested it. Like, they just say he's out. Like, they don't even get, he doesn't get on the floor, no shoot around, no nothing. At least he's doing that. That's a step in the right direction for his toughness. So you think it's about Ime tonight. I think ultimately, as always,
it's about Jason Tatum.
Thank you, Christian. Because in the first quarter the other night.
Oh, Captain Obvious over here.
First quarter the other night, his shot wasn't going. And I think his shoulder, that stinger was bothering him. I mean, they had that masseuse sticking that thumb in there. Like, he was in pain. He admitted
with the
again today.
And everything.
You
he was
laugh,
in pain.
But he didn't have the same range of motion.
He
could
airball the three.
He stopped
airballed
taking
a three.
He stopped taking the three.
Because he was 1 for 7.
And he would not do that if they were going to be normal.
What he ended up doing was going to the basket, getting free throws. He shot a million free throws in that game. That set the tone for their urgency. It certainly helped that Miami could not throw the ball in the ocean, but he didn't settle for those shots. This team and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, they settle for so many freaking jump shots. And the fact that Tatum didn't, that helped them get that monster lead, 29-11. Sorry, it was in 50-11, Christian. But that was on Tatum. That energy tonight on the road, take the Miami crowd out of it. He's the one player that can rip the air out of the balloon for those front-running, fraudulent Miami fans.
How about this? Is there a way for Jaylen Brown to play and be successful in this game without dribbling the basketball?
Catch and shoot guy. No. But that's not who he's ever been. He's not Graham Williams. Not, like, he's going to drive in the paint. That's what he...
No, I know. I mean, isn't that... I feel like that's a storyline that nobody's talking about.
So, Christian, Klay Thompson had a playoff game once where he had 60 points on 11 total dribbles.
Ooh, I like that.
Jaylen Brown has no chance at getting close to that.
That is an unbelievable call.
He needed an awesome
you.
Point guard. He doesn't have that on this roster.
Yeah, Jaylen's not that type of shooter, but he can take 20 dribbles and get 40.
See, I was at like my daughter's practice, and they did this drill where they had to shoot. They had to go up and down the court and shoot, and they weren't allowed to dribble the ball whatsoever.
It's Coach Foyer, Mike.
No, it wasn't me. I was just watching, and I was so impressed. I feel like that's what Jaylen Brown should do. Like, they were up and down. Like, they had like make like 6 shots in 24 seconds.
Have we ever seen Jaylen Eurostep? Is that like in his repertoire? I feel like that would be helpful for him. Like, Tatum does it all the time.
What is his gather point?
No,
what
seriously.
The free throw line.
He needs a Giannis gather point.
Because
what
happens is, like, the ball, he keeps it so low below his knees, and then he gets all tripped up over it, and then all of a sudden he's got 3 Heat players surrounding him.
Do you think, I felt like in the last game, game 4, I felt like it was obvious that the Heat knew exactly how to strip him, like how to knock the ball out of his hands. They knew exactly where he was going to hold
it. They came up in front of him?
Yeah,
they looked at him.
Go ahead. Hey, just stand there. He's going to kick the ball out of bounds.
I think Jeff Van Gundy actually called out Jaylen for bringing the ball back into the defense and, like, literally handing the ball to the defender's body to have it stripped right there. He's, like, he's putting on a platter for
He
them.
Has been great in this series. He's called out Tatum for the injury stuff. He's called out...
You were just mocking
Jaylen
him,
Brown.
Were you not?
Well, but it's
you were mocking Jason Tatum. He has a stinger.
I am mocking when he came back into the game, and immediately Van Gundy's right. He did sort of lean back into a screen with that shoulder the next time. I don't think a lot of announcers would point that out. I think a lot of these guys are just there to pump up the players. Van Gundy's, I like when guys are critical of the players that are out there. Some different voice besides just the, everything's great. That guy's awesome. He's the best. That's why I like Van Gundy in that spot. The other guy I haven't mentioned yet, Derek White. Like, if Marcus Smart's not going to play, and from Woj, he says that it's availability is going to be there for Robert Williams. Nothing on Marcus Smart yet. So you need another respectable game from Derek White. He had 7 points in that first quarter, your first 7 points. He was terrible after that. He has to have that same sort of energy early on, I would think, on the road with that crowd. He's going to play a lot in this game if Marcus Smart can't go. It also means your boy, Peyton Pritchard. And role players on the road in NBA playoff games, you should lower your expectations.
It'll be
guys.
Interesting if Hero is available and guys like Max Strus and Gabe Vincent are available, what they do on the perimeter if Marcus Smart is not out there. Because if you remember in game 1, they were like borderline disrespectful to Peyton Pritchard, the way that they were trying to take advantage of the switches on him out there when Marcus Smart and Al Horford weren't out there. Like, it could get that, that could play a role in what happens tonight.
If you're going to pick somebody other than Tatum, who is it? Biggest impact in this game?
Horford.
Yeah,
because
he's
defending Bam Adebayo quite a bit. Even if Williams is out there, he's had a bunch of minutes on Adebayo, and he's going to get open threes early in this game.
And he's available. Like, you can trust him that he's not going to just, you know, wimp out and not play because he has this, like, neck impingement, or he has a slight little, you know, giddy up in his left knee. Needs to stop.
It's a hell of a week for Lou not to be here, to be praising Al Horford for 4 hours a day. Because he is, I mean, just as good as he was in the Bucks series.
Oh, I'm sure he's doing just fine.
He's come back in this series and been an important part again. It was funny, we asked Ryan McDonough about this. Even he's like, nope, did not see this coming. He was, and as a Kemba Walker fan, I didn't like the trade. It's been a really good trade for the Celtics. Brad Stevens made a very good trade in clearing up space for Kemba, bringing in the players they brought in, getting Al Horford. I know I gave a first-round pick, but... like, you're a couple wins away from an NBA final.
Well, it's amazing how good you can look when you give a guy a full year of basketball off and let him recover. This is what you're going to get out of a 35-year-old journeyman.
Well, it can definitely go the other way as well. I mean, you know, like, the other person I would compare it to would be P.J. Tucker, who, you know, went abroad and played over there and won a trophy over there and everything. And then he's when he first came back, he didn't look good. Like, he looked pretty washed last year. He looks good this year for the most part, but... Ow, like, that could have been the end. That could have been the rust all over him this year.
We're an hour away from official word from Ime Udoka, but because they had shoot around today, Ime had to speak about the injuries. Eric Spoelstra did not, because they skipped their shoot around there in Miami. Here was the official update at that point hours ago on Rob and Marcus Smart.
Both feeling better. Marcus is still has some swelling and pain, soreness. They will test it out pregame and see how they feel.
So no decision yet?
No. We've been dealing with it, especially with the Rob situation for a while. And like I said, he's pretty much day-to-day the rest of the playoffs, so it's something we have to manage and kind of work around. They're going through their own thing and got quite a few guys banged up as well.
Would it kill these two teams to play a competitive game for like 45, 46?
I think you get it 48 tonight. Minutes? You get it tonight. I feel like this is the game you get it. Best of three, right? Okay, the Miami Heat, you know, got two at home. The Celtics can't allow themselves to put themselves behind the eight ball again. I just feel like they've learned their lesson. Like, that's it. They've learned their lesson. They've all admitted it. They've talked about it. How bad of a look would it be after game four? Everybody is discussing about can't let ourselves get punched in the face in order for us to respond. Can't sit there and act and only play great if our backs are up against the wall. Like, this is it. Like, go ahead and handle your business. I believe that they have learned from their mistakes once again.
I don't know, because if you go back and watch game three, I think in the pregame they're in a huddle, and I don't remember who said it, but they were like, we know they're going to come out on fire. We know they're going to punch us in the face. Blah, blah, blah. And then they went out there and started horribly. Like, some of it feels borderline out of their control.
They can't control their emotions. They're all emotionally fragile. Is that what we're saying? Like, they're so weak mentally that they have to be, it has to be right up in their face.
It's not a topic until they lose this series or lose this game, but as Ryan McDonough said, they're the more talented team. So if they end up getting beaten for the second time in 3 years by an undermanned, well-coached, tough Heat culture team, first time in the bubble, now this.
Worn out team.
Christian, yes, we will have the conversation of, ultimately, they were more talented, but lost to the inferior team. That is damning for the Celtics.
Oh, I think if they lose this series, it's a colossal failure. It's not even agree more. And put it up in the top five.
It's not. I don't think it's a topic for today. But yeah, if they lose, that's all next week. If we go post Memorial Day, if the Heat are playing in the finals against the Warriors and the Celtics lose this series,
it'd be sick.
As more talented as they are, I don't know if they're healthier, but there's not a huge health discrepancy right now because there's so many Miami Heat players banged up. There's no excuse for it. Like, what would be the excuse? What if they lose this series, what would you point to and say, yeah, that's okay? Like, with the bubble, as Mego said the other day, it felt less real. It felt like it was more.
There was
like
definitely a fake, less investment.
Fake tournament. This is a much more real thing. And
this is in your home arenas.
How do you shake this? If you lose this series and you ultimately lose maybe a game six, worst case scenario, lose tonight. Then lose game six in your building.
This ain't LeBron.
This is not LeBron when LeBron came in and beat you. This is banged up Jimmy Butler, fat Kyle Lowry, you know, retread Bam Adebayo, and Eric freaking Spoelstra. So this will be brutal if they lose.
So here's what we're going to do next, because I feel like we have to do some, take care of some family business, some house cleaning.
Where is that going?
Brad Barrett is going to join us.
Brian Barrett?
No, Brad. I call him Brad.
Brad
Barrett's going to join us.
Why is that?
Because you're causing static between the two
of
us.
I
see him walking up and down the hallway.
Friction?
There's a lot of issue. No, static. There's a static in the room. Like, all you young bucks, you don't understand. I feel like we need to handle this and hash this out now. Or you humor me with this one?
It's your show. You started it.
You did.
Your comments I off was the not air about saying, my friend Brian Barrett started it.
See, now, see, that's this is how you get everybody in trouble.
Who's in trouble? Nobody's in trouble.
You're in trouble now.
Who's in trouble?
You're in trouble
He's
after we come back.
He's an instigator. Mutt's an instigator.
He's such a troublemaker.
Watch out.
You're a troublemaker.
He stirs the pot.
Like, you're a guest, and yet you're, like, crapping on the floor and blaming it on the dog. You're Amber Heard. That's who you are. You're Amber Heard.
It's the showdown that everyone's been waiting for.
Oh, yeah.
Not the Miami Heat versus the Boston Celtics. That's a big game five tonight. It's Christian Fourier versus who?
Brad Barrett.
Brian Barrett?
Brian Barrett.
Has joined us in studio because we have to settle the drama.
Well, hold on. I feel
No, listen. I'm unaware of
Mutt
this.
Mutt is talking a lot of smack.
Christian,
are we
going to be honest about this or not?
Oh, yeah. Oh, suddenly you want to be honest.
I would like you.
What happened? Please be honest.
I would like you to give Brian Barrett another shot, okay? Because you did
what
not.
What did I do? I'm very confused.
Maybe I haven't talked about this.
There's a lot of infighting going on.
I know the real Brian Barrett.
Between me and who?
The real Brian Barrett is a character who is obsessed with caffeine, stats and sports talk radio.
Yep.
The guy you saw in the 28 hours of Fourier, you did not give him enough credit. You said to me he wasn't ready to perform on that show.
No.
So I want to patch this up.
Wait, what show?
Remember Christian did the 28 hours on the air?
Yeah. It was the 3 a.m. hour.
It was you. He doesn't remember. It was you. It was two comedians and Fourier. And Fourier said, he turned to you at one point and said, "What's your plan, Brian?" And he's like, "Brian had no plan." He's like, he's held that against you since then.
Well,
and
so that's not true.
I've been defending.
I've not held that against him.
So you,
I'm not held that against him. I agree with him. I said, you know what? I said it was probably my fault. It's probably my fault. I didn't tell him what to do. I assumed.
Okay, so you're taking the blame for that.
Now I am.
So I'd like you to apologize
to
him.
Now that you said, no, I'm not apologizing. He should be ready.
Hold on. I don't even know what he's apologizing for, though.
Exactly.
I was unaware there was a beef.
He put you in a bad spot in that show.
You're in a beef.
Yeah.
Mump thinks I should apologize to you.
I didn't know this show was a thing. Like,
you were on the air.
You realized you were on the show, right?
Yes, I remember being on the show. But I didn't know that that show was an issue. I didn't know about this.
Yeah,
until
it was a major issue.
Right? This.
Yeah, the ratings.
It was at 3 a.m. It was a great, great hour.
Wait, no, it's an issue because Christian has. I think Christian has the wrong view of you. He called you earlier, like, "Would you what, about
a less uptight Alex Spear?"
Yeah, but that's not him. That's not Barrett. Well, you and Barrett would get along. He's a lunatic like you are.
I told you earlier today. I said, actually, Brian's doing an excellent job.
Yes.
And then she said, why are you having to say actually?
Yeah, like you're surprised. That's a backhanded compliment, Christian.
It's a compliment.
It's not a backhanded compliment.
I thought you look really thin in that. That's fine. That's not the first time that's been said. That's not what you want to hear. What? All I knew him for was Red Sox, and that was it. But I've heard a lot of his stuff that he's done on his rants on the Celtics. His rant on the Celtics, I think it was game three. I'm not sure which one it was. When that colossal loss, he was great. Excellent.
Yeah.
My issue was he didn't show up for the radiothon. That was it.
I do remember telling him a story about getting robbed at gunpoint on that show, though.
Wait, what?
You don't remember that?
In Houston, he got robbed at the ATM machine.
Yeah, I told that story on your show.
It's a great story.
Don't even remember that story.
Maybe you were bad.
I think it's your fault.
No, now that I think about it, that was an intimidating show.
Like, right.
There was a lot of people in here. It was just kind of I was supposed to be crazy. Yeah, I was supposed to be controlling it. It was just kind of all over the place.
And then, okay,
it got away from
that. I said, what's your plan?
I'm
gonna control this fiasco. We have no leader.
Hold on. That's not how you said it. It was already off the rails.
I will say that.
You turned to Brian Barrett and said, "So, what do you got planned now?" It's a serve.
That's not Barrett's fault. Good luck controlling this. That's not Brian's fault, is what I'm saying.
No, it's not. Yes.
No. Well, why was it not his fault?
Well, then, because your name is not the Brian Barrett 28 hours to cure diabetes. It's the Christian 48
hours.
When
I'm on with you for those 4 hours, you handle the show, right?
No, you gave me a script for those 4 hours.
I didn't give you a script at all. We had two guests, and then you ran the show.
We had two comedians. We did not have two comedians. You're like a bad coach with a player in a bad spot. That's the issue.
It's like I overcame my coaching is what I did with you.
Meanwhile, what Barrett does, he solicits his phone calls from women. Females call the station and tell him where to get the best vodka lemonade drinks at Fenway Park. That happens.
Yeah, can you explain that to us? Can you kind of give us that info?
I haven't been up there since that happened. The woman called and told you where to get the best vodka lemonades.
You've been a bunch of games this year.
Yeah, well, my issue is at Fenway, if you get a vodka lemonade, it's like barely a shot of vodka. So it's not even worth it because it's like $13. And some woman called. I forget where she said that was.
Third baseline.
Is there a specific like a little kiosk?
She says there's a certain, I don't know if it's a sponsor, so I don't want to say it, that has an area where they actually have like legit vodka lemonades, not like a tiny shot, which that was my complaint when I went last year is the vodka lemonades were
weak.
Yeah, they were weak. It's not worth buying something for $13.
I can't imagine getting a vodka lemonade. This vodka lemonade is weak.
He's a professional. The guy sucks down 7 C4s a day of caffeine.
I'm glad we cleared the air.
Do you drink
this? I clearly didn't know there was any air to clear.
I didn't know there was an issue.
Do you feel better, Barrett? Do you feel like it's... Do you feel like a weight has been lifted off your chest?
I can feel him carrying it around. Every time I say hello to him when I leave, he just ignores me. Doesn't even acknowledge that I say hello to him.
That was 7 months ago. You've been holding that grudge against him for 7 months. Are you going to stop saying that about, like, when you stop saying that he wasn't ready to go in that spot and move on?
Okay. It was my fault. I'm letting it go.
Okay, good. I'm glad you apologized.
You really don't have to apologize. I didn't know there was an issue.
Are you picking the Celtics to win tonight?
Yeah.
Okay, of course you are.
Jimmy Butler's screwed.
Blowout. Blowout Celtics?
Yeah.
Okay. Always.
All right. Well, there you go. Brian
Biggest
Barrett,
Celtics
everybody.
Fanatic at the station, by the way.
All Let's right. do
Are
last
we done?
Call.
Can we Thanks, leave?
Barrett. No, last call is brought done. To you by Cars for Kids. The easy way to donate your car. Donate today, and your car can be picked up tomorrow.
Yeah.
Go to carsforkids.com or 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Well, some fun in the Nesson booth, as always, when Eck is in there. He was joined by Dave O'Brien and Kevin Millar, who were explaining Alex Verdugo's drip, as the kids call it.
Kevin, does Verdugo have... Is he the leader in the clubhouse for padding right now?
Yeah, he's a leader in all of baseball. Remember the night in Texas, he fouled a ball off the instep of his right foot. He ended up doubling, leaving the game, had a day off. But the day after he came back Sunday, he had the pad on the foot. That's off. Oh, no, it's still on there. There it is. So we got one there,
the top.
One on the shin, that's two. One on the glove is three. We have one on the elbows, four. And we have the sliding mitten thing that my kids, I got freshmen and sophomore, they call it drip. They go, Dad, I got some drip in my back. But I'm like, what? Do you have a wrist problem? Did you slide and jam your thumb? No, it's all about drip now. We got to have it in our back pocket because that's what they do in the show.
The drip?
It's a drip. It's a swag. Whatever you want to cut. Yeah. I'm like, what? Just play.
So what the boys are saying is, that's swag. That's slang for swag. That's what that is.
Yeah, drip is slang. Yeah, I'm going to teach you a few. So drip. It. Okay. Yeah. Dad, I got drip because Verdugo and Story, they got these things in their back pocket along with 80% of the other big leaguers. Everybody has that sliding mitten. They get to first base. They put on stuff. If you're first base coach, you need a wheelbarrow these days.
That's ball four. So Verdugo is on.
I am funny. So uncool right now. It's beyond.
Telling you.
You got drip. You got drip mustache.
Okay, for the record, that's not what that means.
It doesn't?
No, drip is jewelry.
Well, drip is like shiny, like in like you're showing off.
Yeah,
right?
Jewelry.
Yeah, drip. And I do agree with the whole like, you know, you get to first base and you're sitting there going, what the hell? What are you making them leave? Why are you making them leave? Brian, do you have an opinion on
He's got
drip?
Pregame he's got to get ready for.
Oh, okay.
All he's right. got a full hour of Mud at Night he's got to get ready for, then pregame show.
Listen, if I'm the first base coach, when one of these Yahoos come over there and hand me their stuff, I would throw it to the ground. But like,
that's
I'm not your
swag.
Servant.
That's slang
I don't work
swag.
For you.
Nesson has done some cool things this offseason. I don't need Millar and Eck. Just give me Mech. It's
Just
too
Mech.
Just give me Mech.
Just give me Mech. See, yeah, we on. All have see?
Or Euclid.
Tease her.
I think Euclid's the guy. I never thought I'd say this. I think Euclid's the guy in that booth. I think Uke's going to take over and be their next guy in that booth.
Let's hit this real quick. Charles Barkley was broadcasting from Dallas for Warriors Mavericks Game 4, and he got into some weather talk.
Very thoughtful. You know the bad thing about all this rain? It's not raining in San Francisco to clean up those dirty ass streets they got there. you know,
say it again,
they need a clean, San Francisco. You know, it's a great city, but all that dirtiness and homelessness, y'all, man, y'all got to clean that off the streets. I wish it, because it's raining like hell down here.
I'll say this much. Last time I was in San Francisco, like in the city proper, I saw a ball of human hair, like a tumbleweed of human hair, go down the street. And it was a nice area of town. Like, there are not really bad areas of San Francisco anymore. I was like,
dirtiest streets, dirtiest
Google
streets.
Earth, San Francisco streets.
The dirtiest streets in America.
Camp.
Detroit, downtown Detroit.
Downtown Detroit is like vacant.
No, it is not vacant. Right by the stadium?
I was born in Detroit.
Okay, when was the last time you lived in Detroit? Okay, you grew up in Maryland.
When I was 3 months old.
Okay. Do you remember how smelly it is?
Oh, you never forget the smell.
It's very smelly.
It's 8 Mile. 8 Mile Mega.
I was born in it.
8 Mile Mega.
Thank you so much, Mutt. Sorry, Brian Barrett.
Sorry, Barrett.
Thank you, Brian Barrett.
Mutt at Night tonight.
With Barrett. Next.
All right, bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.